Lee and Hunter Wiederspoon won individual regional titles, and whereas Hunter Wiederspoon and Rowan Wiederspoon received sportsmanship awards, and whereas Leanna Carney received the Outstanding Female Wrestler Award, and whereas 11 Wolves qualified for the state tournament, and whereas 6 wrestlers were awarded placement medals at the state tournament, and whereas Leanna Carney won an individual state title, the first female in Wrangell's history to ever do so. Now, therefore, I, Stephen Prusunka, the mayor of the city and borough of Wrangell, Alaska, on behalf of the citizens of the city and borough of Wrangell, congratulate these fine athletes for their achievement and sportsmanship and commend them on their representation of the community of Wrangell. I'd just like to say further, these programs, athletic programs, they start when these guys are young. And there's people out there that started with the littlest guys out on the mat wrestling and learning the moves. And this is that those years of dedication, this is what is produced at the end of it. So although we have some coaches that were able to take those guys up to state and gals up to state this time, there was years of parents and coaches and helpers and tournament organizers that made this all happen. So my hat's off to you, to the entire team. Fantastic job to the coaches. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. And Kim made cupcakes,
no,
and I
Alicia.
Know
Alicia.
Who made it.
Alicia.
Alicia made cupcakes, and I know nobody is trying to make weight anymore. I'm mistaken. So please have a cupcake on us, and we're going to recess for 5 minutes. And we have proclamations for all of the kids. So thank you.
Thank you. It's nice to be back, everyone. So 7 topics, and I'll briefly go through these. Beginning with the Central Tongass landscape analysis, there's no changes or updates at this time from the last agenda report out. The road list at this time, the same thing, there's no updates since the last time it was reported. Recreation, we're kind of in a quiet time right now, and there's nothing new to talk about as far as recreation, but I'm sure that's going to pick up here in the next couple of months. The Resource Advisory Committee, or the RAC Committee, is for people who may not know, there's the Wrangell Petersburg RAC Committee, and I'm happy actually to report out that the Secure Rural Schools funding was reauthorized by Congress for another 2 years, and I'll leave a briefing paper on that for you guys. So that's extremely good news. Our RAC, the Petersburg Wrangell RAC, is actually healthy with full membership and active and participating. And I know last time I was here, which was a little while ago, I encouraged you guys to look more thoroughly into that. There's a lot of opportunity and a fair amount of funding that's always on the table for that. I know Maya was interested in potentially joining, and I'm hoping that's still moving forward. Number 5 is the challenge of the abandoned vehicles on administered Forest Service administered lands. Let's just call it Zarumbo Island. And so we're about to get going on this. I have an internal meeting that I've scheduled for Thursday. And once I hold that meeting and kind of get some of our folks to a little bit of a consensus in a productive mode, then I'm going to extend that invitation out to the rest of you, which I'll probably request one of the side meetings. And what do we officially call those?
Work session.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Because it's going to take a village, and but I think we're all interested, all with a similar end state in mind. But doing it as a community is going to be the most successful. I think we as a Forest Service could probably remove it on our own, but the long-term sustainability and a long-term solution is gonna work best with the entire community. And so I introduced myself to the new sheriff today, and he's gonna probably play a role in that as well. So I look forward to getting going on that. I know it's been way too long. I'm preaching to the choir. You guys have lived with it for decades. So stay tuned. We'll be soliciting a work session time with folks, hopefully in early February. I have a correction to the SS Chugach. Nothing has changed in that. That's a very exciting project. But I think I had 150 yards to fill in that area. And checking with Jeremy, our engineer, he kind of giggled at me and said that's supposed to be 250 yards. So it's a little bit more than what I had originally anticipated. But that everything, obviously, is going to start to pick up as spring rolls on. The last thing is just an announcement, and I know this has already kind of hit the airwaves, but we have scheduled a public workshop for our forest plan. So it came out of a meeting with the Economic Development Committee that it would be really cool if we held kind of like a workshop to become more familiar with the Forest Service, the Tongass Forest Plan, and how that kind of guides our management decisions and our directions. And I thought that was a great idea. I wish I could say it was mine, but it wasn't. So it's scheduled for this January 23rd. That's a Thursday, I believe, and a week from this coming Thursday, right here. And I have a question mark of 1800. Does that work, Kim? Okay. And then I also already heard that that's a bad time of year and there's folks out of town. So I was responsive, but I guess I was too responsive. So if we feel there's a need, let's try to do another one in the spring when we might have additional people. You know, it's why not? If you guys want it, let's do it. The added, I know I'm at the end of this time here, but the added benefit to that is the added value is the more informed our community is on how those things work. When we have robust rule meetings, when we have project meetings, it's pretty impressive how well informed this community is, even without having that training, compared to what I've seen in other communities. So kind of like our wrestling team being number one, that'd be really cool to get that common knowledge throughout the rest of our community. So I'm happy to do that. So to end up with, if there's anything you guys want added to this agenda or taken off this agenda, I'm happy to take that note now.
Julie.
Thanks. I appreciate the update. Thank you very much for scheduling the sort of T-Lump 101 session for the community. I think it's not sexy, but it's really important. And I think it hasn't received attention. And I always wonder, you know, it's a difficult thing to interact with and understand because it's complex. So I really appreciate that, and I would encourage you to go ahead and schedule one for the spring so that there's a lot of time people can get on their calendars. Not too late, because then people leave town, like they're all busy, but early May, something like that.
Okay.
So thank you for that. I noticed like the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, they recently did a whole 101 workshop on how the council works, how you involve yourself. They made documents and they had work sessions and stuff. So it's an important thing for all these sort of large management entities within the federal government.
Yeah. Yeah, the crazy thing is you'd think that they would be the same across forests, but they're not. Mm-hmm. Some of the general framework is similar, but they're all different. They're all unique. So even as I transition in this position, it's a new plan for me to learn. So I'm looking forward to being forced into focusing on it instead of just looking up parts of it as they come across my desk.
Fantastic.
Anyone else?
Any other questions for Clint? Again, thank you for coming down and doing this. This is really, really valuable. And we appreciate that if you're away, you send someone else. It's really helpful to us to stay because we're partners in this, and so thank you.
You
bet. For the listening public as well.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the more presence you have, the better everybody is off, so appreciate it.
So a couple folks in the audience that may not know this, but I put a purpose on the top of the standing agenda, and for me it's to facilitate an open and respectful dialogue between the city and borough and the Wrangell Ranger District so that we can improve trust, transparency, and communication. So that's the point of it. It's meant to be brief and probably boring, but if it's brief and boring, then things are good.
Actually don't find it boring, especially Carson's Rimbo.
It's going to get good.
Thank you. I hear you did a site visit?
Oh, yes, thank you. I did. I was out there before Christmas. I didn't get across around the whole island due to weather, but it's just like the picture showed, and I took a whole bunch of new pictures. The trees are a little bit bigger, and the cars are a little bit rustier. But I'm looking forward to tackling it. You know, the harder the issue, the kind of the more interesting it is to try to fix.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Clint. Appreciate your time. And Joan Sargent again, and you wanted to speak on 1506, which is the Community Fabric Resolution.
I'm Joan Sargent, and although I'll be talking with you again, I'm sure, after reading this resolution in meetings, hopefully, associated with this, because I'm already associated with a number of community organizations that are very concerned about what's addressed in this resolution. I am speaking as a private individual tonight. This is new. This is great. So the first thing I want to say, though, is I really, really thank the city for its involvement and organization in the youth program that was offered over Christmas break. Quite amazing bringing together so many so quickly and successfully. You know, throughout our nation, if you do any research on this, which obviously some of you are starting to do, communities are making a difference by coming together as groups and starting to address mental health issues, drug and alcohol, abuse issues, and also the problems associated with poverty, homelessness, and that sort of thing. And that sort of thing is, from what I've seen so far, and the little bit I've done in this community, although it is small, it's here. And I'm really glad that the city is doing this resolution and support it wholeheartedly. Thank you.
Thank you, Joan. We'll look forward to having you participate in that.
Oh, I will.
It would be great to have your voice there. Thank you so much. that's it for persons to be heard. Great. Is there any amendments to... You didn't sign up.
I didn't sign up.
Come on up, Chris. I would like you... Oh, man, we've only talked about you coming here about three times in the last hour.
My bad.
Go ahead, Chris. Thank you.
Yeah, so I'm Chris Cookie McClure. I live at 236 Berger Street. I'm a lifelong Wrangell resident and commercial fisherman. I've been asked to speak here today on a meeting I attended exactly a week ago in Petersburg. Myself, a couple other fellow fishermen, and our mayor, Mr. Prasanka, attended a NOAA meeting and an opportunity to testify in Petersburg on critical whale habitat in Southeast Alaska and that determination. There was a room about twice the size, and it was full. It was standing room only all the way around the outside, and there was people in the hallway. So there was a lot of concerned citizens over this this designation and what it would mean to our way of life here. It's very concerning. They've broken the humpback whale population into distinct population segments. There's humpback whales that winter in Hawaii that are differential genetically and such from ones that winter in Mexico, also in the Western Pacific. So basically the Hawaiian whales, which is 96% of what we're seeing here in Southeast Alaska, the population is doing just fine. Ever since they stopped whaling, these things have grown in the midst of all of our fisheries and everything else we're doing here in Southeast Alaska. However, there's a distinct population segment of whales that winter in Mexico that are potentially threatened. There's about 2,800 whales in that population, they believe. There's two things that are really concerning to the fishermen in the room, and that's the data they're using. There was a pretty comprehensive splash study done, and through markings and whatnot and extrapolated data, they figure about 2% of that population feeds in Southeast Alaska. So 2% of 2,800 animals that we're trying to protect that could potentially be threatened are here in the midst of competing for forage food with these Hawaiian whales that are doing just fine. So, you know, we're concerned with that data and why they would single out Southeast Alaska when only 2% of that population is here. The other thing that we're really concerned with is the economic impact portion of their data for determination. Economic impact only takes into account their administrative costs. And they anticipate that their administrative costs could be about $800,000 over 10 years. And that data would just be, let's say you want to drive a piling and you were going through that process or putting in a hydro line or whatever you were doing, putting in a hatchery release site, and there would be a line item for critical whale habitat. However, we see that as a segue into more restrictions and the opportunity for more environmental agencies to attack forage fisheries and just fisheries in general, cruise industries, or anything we do here in Southeast Alaska. So we're very concerned with that and hope that you guys would comment on that. So yeah, it's very, very threatening to our way of life. The feds have said that they didn't have a problem. They weren't going to interrupt state fisheries, and then they went in and protected pollock fisheries around sea lion rookeries and stuff. And so this is just opening that door to the next level that's likely to impact us all. So thank you.
And sorry, Julie, the fisheries is one element of this. There's an industrial component that is almost immeasurable. So, for example, we have sea phase out between Woronofsky and Banks for Petersburg Power. We know we're going to have to replace that line potentially, or at least repair it. This will impact that. And I thought one of the most compelling testimonies came from a pile driver, a man who drives pile for a living. And he's been doing it for years. And he said it started out, they said, well, we're worried about the marine mammals, so we want you to stop 5 minutes into driving the pile, look around and see if there's any marine mammals that are being impacted. So they did that. They said, well, now we need you to do it twice. Drive for five, look for five, drive for five, look for five. So they did that. And they said, well, we don't trust you doing it. So now you need to hire somebody to look to see the whole time you're driving pile that you're not disturbing any. And then they said, you know what? One's not enough. We want you to have two. And out in Sitka Sound, that is an endangered area, I guess, or something. When they drive pile out there, they have to conduct an entire marine mammal survey in the area, adding hundreds of thousands of dollars to the cost of doing these projects. So we have several projects coming up that we will be impacted by, and in the end, that's the taxpayer and the ratepayer pick up the tab for these additional things. And when the driver guy was talking, the woman who was there from the Fed was just, she was just nodding, because that's exactly the way it works. And so, you know, we know we're going to have to replace all of our underwater cables for our hydro project, so that's something coming up. We also have the potential of having high-speed fiber optic cable coming out of GCI, out of KPU, that would go in competition with GCI. Well, they can't lay that fiber optic if it's critical habitat. They just got to change how they do it, and it's cost money. So, Julie?
Thanks, Chris. I was just wondering, has USAG commented?
Our executive director gave verbal testimony at that meeting. However, we're going to work on a written letter as well. I'm going to do a written letter. I'm asking you guys to do a written letter. I'll work with Lisa on it a little bit. The state is willing to work on it. And then I'm hoping that Thursday night we got an advisory committee meeting, and I'm hoping that we will generate a letter there as well. So,
is this affecting Washington, Oregon, California?
Yes. Yeah, they're actually
as
on a...
As quickly as it is here? In the same way it is here?
They are designated, they are on the list to be designated as critical whale habitat. They are on a higher priority list than we are, because that population of whales comes out of Mexico, and we're on the peripheral of their range. So certainly they're liable to be impacted higher, because there's a larger amount of population there. One of the things they talked about a lot was forage fisheries, and that really hits home with people that are sick of herring fisheries and such. And so there is federal herring fisheries in Washington and that, and so it sounds like they would liable to be impacted. There's a, I think there's a Dungeness fishery down there that's been impacted. And so, certainly they're being impacted.
Okay, I was just curious.
Yeah.
Drew, what are the regulatory impacts that they're imposing on the fisheries currently?
So I think they curtailed,
okay.
You're getting out of
you're
what I know.
Okay.
And so, but, yeah.
So right now, if they designate it, that's just a designation, and then it's sort of opening the door to for the other regulations. Yeah.
Now this is critical whale habitat based on
that
2% of the population that may or may not be doing well, and we may or may not be having an impact on. However, that opens the next deal is because there was a lot of questions asked that they're like, we can't answer on that. This meeting isn't about that. What is a sustainable level for that whale population? What are these the next step? And it sounded like there would be a whole other phase after we were designated critical whale habitat. So this all stems from a lawsuit that the federal government lost. It had to do when they delisted the humpback whales from the endangered species list. And it was done based on the Hawaii population. A lot of these populations have rebuilt when we stopped whaling. However, these distinct populations may not be recovering at the same rate. And we may not be impacting that. So, but I think the priority here is to question their data. There's a lot of data that's antiquated, and it's not all at the same level. And I think that's where we really just say, hey, what are the impacts to our community? I mean, there's a lot of people here that are, you can't afford to charge more for shipping, cruise lines, fisheries, ports and harbors, and all these things that could impact.
So, Chris, thank you so much for going over and participating. Your testimony was fantastic. And I also want to thank you for all the work that you did on the moose meat and arranging for that to be divided out to seniors in our community and the community potluck. I had a chance to drop in real quick on that. Really appreciate your community mindedness and how much you volunteer between the fire department and all the fishery stuff you do. And then that, thank you. We really appreciate it.
Super. Thanks, Steve.
Now you can go bowling. You're staying. Okay, I think that is it for Persons Be Heard. Clint, if you want to bug out, you're more than welcome to. We won't make you sit through the routine, Joe.
Leave the door open.
And for the record, I think I should not have signed up on Persons to Be Heard because I'm on the agenda under
that's
Lisa.
Right. It's totally fine.
So next time I won't sign that up and I'll wait for my turn in the agenda.
It's totally fine.
Okay,
we just want to make sure we get you. Thank you, Joan. Have a good night.
Bye
bye.
I'll be listening on the radio.
Okay, good.
That sounded like a warning.
Yeah.
That sounded ominous.
Yeah. Shot across our bow there.
Yeah.
All right. Is there anybody else for Persons to Be Heard? I honestly, Chris spoke to me about 10 times today and I missed him. All right. Amendments to the agenda. Patty.
Mayor, I request that we remove item 11A, the rate stabilization ordinance, and request a workshop on that item. I have several concerns about it, and I also request that our clerk email you my email addressing those concerns.
I already received that.
Mr. Mayor, if I may add to that, Assembly Member Gilbert submitted a list of concerns, and I responded to those concerns today to the best of my ability, and realizing how the depth and scope of those, my recommendation was that we remove it from the agenda and have a work session, which is why I didn't copy it out to everybody else. But we will, in preparation for the work session, and we will query you to come up with an appropriate date.
Perfect.
Thank you.
And is there, I'm just looking around, is anybody opposed to that? Not seeing that, we will remove that item. Any other amendments to the agenda? Okay, seeing none, moving on to 5, conflicts of interest. Does anybody have a conflict of interest they'd like to declare?
Mayor, on item 13I, the request for the school maintenance fund, according to our borough attorney, I may have a conflict of interest on that item.
Assemblymember Gilbert, yes. I think if we were voting to establish this process, I would ask you to step down, but we're not. This is an established process. We're simply accessing the funds that we made available. So I think I'm comfortable with you staying on through that process. It's not like we're reallocating or creating a new fund. This was money that we said was available. They just needed to submit a bill. Julie?
Well, and just further to that, I mean, you're not benefiting personally.
No, but we had established, because Assemblymember Gilbert is also on the school board for budgetary items. Mm-hmm. So when the budget is being proposed, we've asked her to step down during that time and sit with the school board because she's a part of proposing that instead of advocating or not advocating, as the case may be, from this area. So, but I see this as something that has been established. And if you're comfortable staying up, I'm certainly more than comfortable with having you stay up. Is there anybody who would like to say anything on that?
I have a similar, I work for the borough or the district, but I don't see any problem with this myself.
Yeah, there's no personal gain for you on that, correct. And again, this is really accepting the invoice from the school that accesses funds that have already been placed aside. So thank you for raising that, though, both of you. I appreciate that very much. And unless anybody has any concern or conflict with that, great. Okay. Moving on to the consent agenda.
I move to approve the consent agenda.
It's been moved. Do we have a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Full vote. Or discussion. Sorry. Let's get this thing done.
Yeah.
Discussion. Hearing none. Full vote, please.
Assemblymembers Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Larrabee?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
And Mayor Persunk?
Yes. Borough Manager's Report. Lisa.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The first thing I'd like to do tonight is introduce on the air to the listening public Tom Radke, who is our new police chief. He started on January 6th, and we're very excited that he's here. A bunch of people in the community may have already met him because he's been man about town, that's for sure, attending all sorts of events and getting out around the community and just meeting with people. I don't know if you want to say hi, Tom, or not. Just anyway,
he's. It's been kind of a fun week, so it's been good.
Thank you. The second thing I'd like to do is I'd like to thank the Public Works crew for the crazy hours they had to work during all of the snow events that we were having last week. And I'd just like to prep the community again that we're looking at getting snow again toward the end of the week and a fair amount of it. So we encourage everybody who has the ability to park off of the street to do so. That'd be great. And to pay attention to any notifications you may get about moving your car so that we can do some cleanup plowing. So we appreciate the assistance of the community there. I wanted to let the assembly know, we talked about it previously at a work session, and just for the public, looks like we may be getting, the community may be getting about $35,000 in Pink Salmon disaster funding, so that's good news. We were notified, actually the Wrangell Cooperative Association was notified last week that it looks like the Department of Public Safety will be making a decision on the grants for public safety buildings sometime this week. So we hope we'll have an update for you on that.
Yes.
I also wanted
Lisa.
Oh, yeah.
Just on that, we've had some sort of peripheral discussions about the possibility of not proceeding and going after new, that sort of running the numbers to decide if this is worth the $500,000 investment, mm-hmm. or are we better off starting from scratch? And so, I'm looking to the assembly for guidance. Is this just a fade? You know, is it a go if that grant comes through? Are we full steam ahead, or do we want to have a secondary discussion? What was your thought?
My understanding was that we were going to have a secondary discussion. Once we had, once we knew what the outcome of the grant was.
Because then we'd have sort of some harder data to look at, but definitely. Okay, thank you. I just wanted to ensure that was going to happen.
Also, I wanted to let the assembly know that even though we thought we had received the very last bit of Wrangell Medical Center legacy funds from the accounts receivable, Search did give us a check for $26,000 that they received from stuff they weren't anticipating through accounts receivable, and we received that just prior to Christmas. So that money's gone into the Wrangell Medical Center legacy account. Also, The Denali Commission has opened up applications for projects. They have about $12 million worth of funding for a variety of different programs, one of which is solid waste, another of which is actually power generation buildings. So Rod and Roland both have those applications. Rod will be working with Amber as soon as she gets back from vacation on that, but I've asked those respective employees to work on submitting those grant applications. They're accepting them on a rolling basis, and it's no guarantee of funding, obviously, but the application at least gets the project in front of them to start taking a look at, and then I think they start asking some additional, very detailed questions about things. So we're working on that as a potential option for some funding there. Just a reminder, we will be having a work session prior to the next assembly meeting, where Vance Jacobson will be giving the presentation on the preliminary findings from the compensation study that was performed.
So that's on the 28th then?
That's on the 28th, that's correct, Mayor.
Are we just going at 6 p.m. regular time?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
I'll double check with him to make sure we don't need a little bit more time than an hour, but I would assume at 6. I'm trying to schedule the social fabric meeting that Joan Sargent was talking about earlier, and I'm hoping to try to do that actually, at least an introductory meeting to get the ball rolling prior to our police chief Tom having to go to academy for 3 weeks. So I'm hopeful that we can put something in play for next week still. I want to thank the assembly and the staff for participating in a work session this last Saturday to go over state and federal legislative priorities and some CIP stuff and some budget information. And those items that we worked through will be coming back to you that require action at the next meeting, the meeting on the 28th. Just a friendly reminder for any of you that geek out on the legislature, the first pre-filed bills will be out tomorrow. So this is very exciting. Yay, let the carnage begin. Lucky Wrangell, we have a ISO, Insurance Services Organization, fire inspection / audit this year, which means ISO comes in and rates our fire department and all of the things associated with it. And those ratings that the ISO auditor comes back with are what helps inform insurance companies as to what our fire insurance rates should be here in Wrangell. So we are putting together an ISO committee, and Dee Dee and Tim are going to be heading that up, and they're going to be introducing that next week at our department head staff meeting to put together all the players that we need to and start working through the details for prep for that. Carol also is heading up our census committee. The assembly approved that census committee at one of our last meetings, and so she held the first meeting on Friday with a group of stakeholders here in Wrangell, so that's good. I have just a couple more items. I wanted to make sure that the public does know that the Wrangell Municipal Light and Power continues to pay attention to the issue of what we're calling this anomaly with some consumption of ratepayers a couple of months ago. And the Wrangell Municipal Light and Power staff has looked at, I think it is more than 60 meters at this point. They've reread meters. They've tested accuracy of meters. They have confirmed that there were no power surges or odd things coming from SEPA. They've reached out to the other communities to make sure that they did not have any anomalies of things going on. And they have essentially exhausted what might be any, they've run down any lead or anything they could think of that would cause something like this to happen from outside of the meter in, which would be on the Wrangell Municipal Light and Power side of things. And so right now what they are asking people to do is, if you still have concerns, please get a hold of Rod Rhodes, our electric supervisor, and have a one-on-one conversation with him. He's more than happy to go over any of this stuff with people and talk about what may be going on, what anomaly internally may be going on in your own home that you didn't realize that could be consuming power. And he is continuing to run down any lead of something that might show a cause for some of this stuff, but they've looked at patterns, they've looked at, they've tried to bird dog anything they could. So just know that we're continuing to work that issue. And again, if anybody has any concerns and would like to have a one-on-one conversation with our electric supervisor, we encourage you to do that. Finally, I wanted to report out a couple of things from Parks and Rec. And so to Joan Sargent's point earlier, community organizations came together in December to plan opportunities for youth designed to provide structured activities, food, and connection during the holiday break. Events were facilitated by the Baha'i Faith Junior Youth Group, Harbor Lights, Alaska Crossings, the City and Borough of Wrangell, Parks and Rec, Library, Nolan Center, Search, and the School District. And activities ranged from meals to movies, crafts to games, swims to open gyms, and more. There were over 560 acts of participation throughout the break in those newly created activities. And if you take into consideration the regularly scheduled things that were already there, they estimate that there were over 1,000 unique uses of the activities going on throughout the time period. And so that's an amazing testament to this community coming together, and I would really like to thank everyone who helped plan, organize, and volunteer for those efforts. So thank you to the community for putting that together. And I'd like to say thanks specifically to a rec coordinator, Lucy Robinson, who drafted and published the media that helped do that. And we know there were some students who were following that online. In fact, Kate Thomas, our Parks and Rec director, was at one of the events and asked one of the kids what they were doing over the break. And he said, "We'll go on to the activities." And she said, "Well, what activities?" And he said, "Didn't you schedule them?" And then he showed her his phone and was like, "See, it's all right here." So they were following the stuff. So the Parks and Rec department facilitated an open swim activity for the elementary school in December, and that was great. And they are looking at the possibility of offering focused swim lessons to one of the lower grade levels during the 2020-2021 school year. And we've had a couple of local businesses and local folks provide contributions to Parks and Rec. And I will send those out. There's too much for me to read here over the air, but I just want to let the community know there are a number that give donations of time and equipment and items and cash to Parks and Rec that help make those programs successful. And I want to thank the community for that. And I think that's all I've got right now.
Any questions for Lisa? Okay. Kim, you're up. Clerk's report.
I don't have anything that's in my report.
That's easy.
Sorry.
That's easy. Okay.
Well, he doesn't have.
Well, we know the clerk's not doing anything. Caleb, we could have that as a headline. That'd be great. Clerk's report sorely lacking.
Don't give him any ideas.
Mayor.
Yes, I posted a picture.
Long-winded. No.
Okay, Mayor and Assembly business. Anybody have any reports for us? David, did you have your hand up?
No, I broke my eye.
Oh, you're rubbing your eye. I thought you had something you had to say. Julie.
I have something that I've been thinking about for a little while, and I've started talking to the clerk and the manager about this possibility, and I wanted to bring it to the Assembly to see what you all thought. But plastics in the ocean is an issue, and it sounds like a lot of it is connected to recycling issues that worldwide are becoming a problem. Since 2018, China decided to stop accepting a lot of recyclables that they were accepting and recycling. It's a whole topic of its own, but it may be that dumping of those recyclables, supposed to be recyclables, is what has caused a lot of the problem that seems to be growing. Senator Dan Sullivan was a major sponsor of the Save the Oceans bill, SOS. Save Our Oceans, I guess it was. Save Our Seas. Save Our Seas.
Save Our Seas.
He passed one a few years ago, and he passed a second version through the Senate just in the last month. It's not completed yet. It needs to go through the House. But so there's efforts on a lot of levels to deal with this issue. But one of the primary ones that ways you can start is by not using so much plastic, particularly the throwaway single-use plastic bags that actually, even when you have a recycling plant, they will not take those. They do not ever get recycled. Something I didn't know until I started looking at this. So they gum up the machines, and they have to stop the machinery, clean it out. And so they are not, even if they're mixed stuff, they won't accept your stuff. So I would like to consider looking at what other communities in Alaska that have done, because there's about 8 or 10 of them that have either implemented or are working on implementing a single-use plastic bag ban in their communities. I'd like to look at some language and potentially put it on the ballot for the voters in Wrangell to decide at our regular general election in the fall. And that way people, and if we do it in a timely manner, we don't have to rush, but I mean, if we do it in a timely manner from now, there should be plenty of time for the community to have discussion about it. And, you know, kind of work through issues and make sure it fits in a way that works for the community. Anchorage just implemented it in September, and that's, you know, the largest city in the state. So, you know, if they can do it, we should be able to also. And I don't really know for sure what the temperature of the community is, but I have had a lot of people interested that have talked to me.
I've talked to people, too, about going plastic less, and they're... I got some good feedback from it. Dutch Harbor did it about a year ago. Yeah, it was about a year ago. The first of last year they did it. And they gave the stores, now they don't have retail out there like we do. You know, they just don't. But they gave the two fishery supply stores a year to use up the plastic that they had bought and brought in. And after that, they went totally plastic-free. And it's pretty interesting because that's why I started making shopping bags. It was for my daughter out in Dutch Harbor. She wanted 50 of them to give to their clients. And it's pretty interesting when you go out there that the people are bringing in their own bags and they're using them. So it can be done.
So wait. You have a shopping bag making business?
No, I am not making shopping bags.
And I think it's been raised sort of peripherally before, and this is the first time it's been brought forward. I appreciate that, Julie. Can we ask that we start to research it in earnest and arrange for a chance for the assembly to discuss things? And
I think I've got at least four.
Yeah, I think you've got...
So
you get the majority.
I've already started doing the research, and Assemblymember Decker is correct. So the only one that I received a word back that it didn't pass was Houston. The city of Houston, not Houston, Texas. Alaska.
No, no.
The city of Houston.
It didn't pass in Sitka either. Which I would
rock. Yeah. Wow. Anchorage, they did pass, and then they gave it like a few months, 3 months, and then they did an amendment to their ordinance, and then it was like a year. So to allow the businesses to run through all of their plastic bags, but so I do have a lot of language. So because everybody sent me their ordinance, so we can get together.
Let's start down the road and start the discussions and moving forward and. Yeah, I agree.
Can we check with the local businesses and see how many plastic bags, you know, I mean, a couple of the major businesses and say, hey, what quantity of plastic bags do you keep on hand at any given time? Because it may only be a few months.
Well, I'm thinking our retail is a little more seasonal than the grocery stores.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's a pretty consistent turnover.
Okay.
You probably don't put motors in plastic bags. Just
ask. I do use plastic bags.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
We do have them.
What? Sorry.
I think we talked about like maybe scheduling a work session for the community, but maybe reaching out through the chamber might be a way to easily get the information distributed to the business owners that we're considering, and maybe that and invite them to come to the work session. I think probably though the largest plastic bag usage is the two grocery stores, is what I would guess. And I know the a lot of the communities made exceptions for certain things like meats in grocery stores and things
produce,
like that.
Or produce in grocery stores.
Those inside plastic bags.
So there's a certain amount of like exceptions and to make it viable.
Okay. I think we've got given some clear direction.